Чтобы написать Аяне, и так, мы не помним, где мы то чё.
Махом сказал, ты к виду, а там может быть.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء فاتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما أما بعد فإن خير الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم شر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار وبعد السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Today, inshallah, we'll be reminding and explaining to ourselves the evil of the people of Shia and how dangerous these people have been since the history of Islam. And how uncaring, unwary Muslims have been. So much that these days, some of the Muslims, because of their own ignorance, think that there is no difference between the Shia and Ahlul Sunnah. Some say the difference is political. And when they use such words, there is no doubt that what they mean is that the difference is not a matter about which the Muslims should really bother themselves. It's a political difference. Like a president of a country will differ with his back, perhaps over 50-year funds, and they begin to harass and abuse themselves and things like that. So don't mind that's not really a problem. So the same difference is political. And some of them have even called for a congress that the Muslims, the Shia, the Ahlul Sunnah al-Jama'ah, the Shia and Ahlul Sunnah al-Jama'ah, they should be relating together, they should be doing things together, and things like this. So today, inshallah, we will be seeing how very dangerous these attitudes of the Muslims today are. In fact, some of the Muslims do not really care about the situation so much that they joke with it and say it's a matter of chair and table. The other people are the chair and the other people are the table. And people laugh in programs. But the matter is the matter between Al-Jannah and Hellfire. So it's not something to laugh out, to laugh, just laugh it out and throw it out like that. We have mentioned the uprising of the Khawarij from the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa sallam, the incident at the time of Uthman ibn Affan, and the incidences, how they really came out and became organized at the time of Ali ibn Abi Talib, and how he fought them and killed a lot of them, and some of them ran away and yet began to still propagate these very dangerous ideas. So those things continued until they reassembled, three of them, the Khawarij, reassembled and agreed to kill Ali radiallahu anhu. Because as far as we are concerned, I will mention this today, we have already believed that we will be captured out of the sea. So since the view that was already captured, they thought that his blood was halal. So the three of them organized that it's not just Ali ibn Abi Talib that you kill, they are also going to kill Muawiyah ibn Abi Sufyan. Because they also consider him also as a kafir. Because he agreed on the issue of the Hakamain, that the two parties should bring someone who will, and the both of them will advocate and then rule on the matter what the Ummah will agree onto and what will be the way forward. So the fact that Muawiyah ibn Abi Sufyan agreed in their view makes him a kafir. So they also made the fear of Muawiyah and those who also followed it. Don't forget that we said that Khawarij, part of their belief is that even those who agree that the ruling is right, of those companions is right, are also Muslim. So they agreed to kill Muawiyah ibn Abi Sufyan and Ali ibn Abi Talib on the same day. So that was why that team took place on the same day. While they succeeded and really killed Ali ibn Abi Talib on his way to the Masjid for Salat al-Sufi, they were not able to succeed to kill Muawiyah on the very day. So Ali ibn Abi Talib died and he was killed by one of the Khawarij called Murija, who killed him thinking that he was pleasing Allah with him. So when Ali ibn Abi Talib died, none of those who are now referred to as the Shia were known. Nothing was known of Shiism except one thing. And that is the issue of Sabahiyya, who were the followers of Ibn Sabah, who was the first person that started the accusations against Uthman. Don't forget, we had mentioned that in history, that Abdullah Ibn Sabah was a Jew who came among the Muslims to cause all the confusions that we are now seeing now and that history has recorded. Some of the scholars have even gone to compile whole books about the activities of Ibn Sabah amongst the Muslims and how he went about to cause the confusion that we now see. So nothing was known of Shiism until the death of Ali ibn Abi Talib except the claims of Abdullah ibn Sabah. It was reported that Abdullah ibn Sabah and some people met and agreed that what they should do is to say to Ali, say that they love Ali ibn Abi Talib. Say that at the end of the day, they said to Ali ibn Abi Talib that Al-Tahillah, you are a Lord, you are God. They said that to Ali ibn Abi Talib. And Ali ibn Abi Talib got many of them burnt. He burnt them alive. Ali ibn Abi Talib, those who referred to him as God, they were the only people who were known as the Shia at the time, as those who claimed to love Ali. And it is from their claim to love Ali that made them to say that Ali was Allah. What they meant was that Ali was the reincarnation of Allah on earth. So they believed that when it was said that Ali ibn Abi Talib was stabbed by Muljam, that was not actually stabbed by Muljam. That what happened was that Allah brought a shaitan in the picture of Ali, and that it was that shaitan, that jinn, that was stabbed by Muljam. So they do not believe that Ali radiallahu anhu died. They believe that it was that jinn that was stabbed, and that what happened was that Allah took Ali radiallahu anhu into the heavens. So you see that this concept is not far from the Judaism from where Ibn Sabah was coming from. And he has just introduced this concept and painted it in the color of Islam. So he said, Ali radiallahu anhu is in the heavens. And that is why when there is rain, when it's about to rain, you hear the thunder clap. That the thunder clap are the voices of Ali. So when they hear thunder clap, they say alayka salatu wa salam, ya Ali radiallahu anhu, ya Ali, alayhi salatu wa salam. They repeat alayhi salatu wa salam twice, that alayka salatu wa salam, ya Ali, that the peace and the blessings of Allah be upon you, O Ali. This is what they say when they hear the thunder blasting, because they believe that Ali ibn Abi Talib is in the sky. This was what was known of Shinzin when Ayyarabiyalam was alive. Most of these people, he bought them alive. Abdullah ibn Osama ran away. He ran away when he saw what was happening. So, before Ayyarabiyalam died, what was known of Shinzin is Sabahiyya. And the ulama say that the Sabaiya are kuffar, that the Ummah is agreed that all those people who had that belief at the time, who in their thinking thought that they were loving and venerating Ayyarabi Alamu by what they say about him, by claiming that he is Allah, Allah's reincarnate on earth, A'udhu Billah, and that he did not die, and that he ascended into the heavens, and that he is in the sky, he is the one who thought when you hear the thunder blast, that all those who say he are kuffar. And Imam Abdul Qadir al-Baghdadi has mentioned that in his book, Al-Fat Bayy al-Sirah, that all these people were declared as kuffar by the scholars of Islam, beginning from the time of the companions, radiallahu anhu. So, but in the later time, 20, 30, 40 years thereafter, most of what is now known as Shi'ism started. This is because some of the Sabaiya still existed in later generations. But what is now known as Shi'ism commenced after Ali ibn Abi Talib. And this group of people that emerged after the death of Ali ibn Abi Talib, Ali ibn Abi Talib actually died. And that's why those Sabaiya, the ulama said to them, why do you call Muljam? If Muljam did not kill Ali ibn Abi Talib, why do you call Muljam? Because they call Muljam. If he had not actually killed Ali ibn Abi Talib, why do you call him? So Ali radiallahu anhu actually died. Because when he was stabbed, he told the people not to allow Muljam to go. And they arrested Muljam. And Muljam, as soon as Ali radiallahu anhu died, he was killed. We mentioned how he was killed. His hands were cut off. Then later his eyes were removed. When they did all these things with him, cutting off his hands and his feet, he never shouted in pain once. He never groaned like one in pain groaned. He never groaned once. Muljam never groaned because he said, that time his tongue was reciting zikr. And when his eyes were removed, he was reciting Iqra bismi rabbika alladhi khalaq. And as the blood went down his cheek, that was what he was reciting. It was when a part of his tongue was cut that he shouted. They asked him, why are you now shouting? He said, because you want to cut off the tongue with which I do zikr. And I want to make zikr until I meet Allah. But all those zikr, they are nonsense. Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has told us about them, that they will read the Quran, they will make adhkar, but it will not exceed their throat. We read that hadith to us yesterday. So all those things, they are physical manifestation of, let's just call it hallucinations, because it has no meaning in the mind that made the statement of remembrance. So they still call Muljam. So Muljam was killed because Ali radiallahu anhu died. So Ali radiallahu anhu died. When he died, the Shia, those who claimed that they loved him, became divided into four sects, into four groups. The whole of the Shia became divided into four groups. The first group are the Zaydiya. The Zaydiya are those who attribute themselves to Zayd ibn Ali, ibn Husayn, ibn Ali ibn Abi Talib. You know, Ali ibn Abi Talib had a child called Husayn, who is the younger brother of Hassan, one of the children of Fatima. Do we understand that? And that one had a child called Ali. That Ali had a child called Zayd. This Zayd had died himself before these people began to ascribe themselves to him. So he does not know those who ascribe themselves to him in partisanship and factionalism. Just like Jesus Christ does not know those who ascribe themselves to him as Christians. So he does not know them. He died and decided to ascribe themselves to him that they are Zaydiyya. So this Zaidiyya, which is the four main sets, then we should quickly talk about that. The four main sets are also divided into 20. The four main sets are also divided into 20. And each of these four makes a field of one another. We'll come back to that inshallah. Yes. In fact, among the subdivisions, they still make a field of one another. Because we have what makes them different, one from the other. So the idea, we are those who attract themselves to them in the hadith of the faith, in the hadith that is funny, and they are divided into three main sets. The first one among the Zaydiyya, they are those who refer to as Al-Jarudiyya. These people refer and ascribe themselves to a man called Abu Jarud. Not Al-Imam ibn Jarud. Al-Imam ibn Jarud was one of the greatest scholars of Hadith in his time. So it's not Ibn Jarud. This one is Abu Jarud. You know, Sheikh Abu Ishaq al-Huwaini made a tahqiq of the book of Al-Imam ibn Jarud, his Sunan. He called it Awl al-Makhdud. So, it's not Al-Imam ibn Jarud. This is Abu Jarud. So they ascribe themselves to that man and they refer to themselves as Jarudiyya. These people, they believe that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam actually said that the next person to be the Khalifa after him was Ali ibn Abi Talib. This is a lie. We said that even before the death of Aisha radiallahu anha, as soon as the Prophet died, when some of the people were asking that, didn't the Prophet make wasiya? Aisha said, anyone who said that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has made wasiya of the person to be a Khalifa after him has died, said because he died between my neck and my chest, his head was rested here, and until he died I knew all he said. He did not say anyone to be the Khalifa. She said that, Umar radiallahu anhu said that, and others said that, I want the companions to you. So, but these people say that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had actually stated that Ali ibn Abi Talib should be the one to be the Khalifa after the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That tells us the butlan, the evilness, the baselessness of that statement. Another belief of the Jarudiyya is that they claim that all the companions are kuffar because they went against that instruction of the Prophet that Ali ibn Abi Talib should become the Khalifa after him. It implies that they agree that the companions agreed to the Khilafah of Abu Bakr al-Siddiq. Do we understand? If it is that they agree that Abu Bakr al-Siddiq should be the Khalifa, one of those who agreed also was Ali ibn Abi Talib. In fact, Ali ibn Abi Talib came by after Abu Bakr al-Siddiq twice. On the second day, because it was 2 days, the fourth day, the day Prophet died sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when Abu Bakr al-Siddiq was appointed a Khalifa, all the Muslims came by after him at the conference hall of Banu Saqifa, Banu Sa'idah. The next day, he came to the masjid after Salah. He addressed the people. And all those who were not in the conference hall of Banu Sa'idah also came again and took bay'ah from him. It was this day that he was now asking that where is Ali and where is Zubayr ibn Awwam. So they called the two of them out and he said to them, I have not seen you people. They also took bay'ah from him on this day. The two of them, they took bay'ah from him. And that's why the people reported that for saying, one of the children of Ali ibn Abi Talib asked Ali radiallahu anhu, who is the best among the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam after the Prophet. It was reported that Ali radiallahu anhu said to him that Abu Bakr is to be. He said, then who? He said, Umar ibn al-Khattab. He wanted to put it to him so that he can say that he was preferring, perhaps, or to, so that to make the situation clear whether Ali radiallahu anhu actually considers himself that he should be the Khalifa before Uthman ibn Affan. So he said it to him, and then you, he said, La, your father is nothing other than one of the Muslims. So if Ali radiallahu anhu was told by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that he was going to be the Khalifa after him, he will not say that. He will say the Prophet said, I should, and then he mentioned it. If he has not mentioned it, like the Imam Ibn Taymiyyah said in Minhaj Sunnah, that if it was true that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had told Ali radiallahu anhu that he should be the Khalifa after him, and Ali radiallahu anhu did not say that to the companions, neither did he enforce that, neither did he know of him that he flocked at him, then it would mean that people like that are not qualified to become Khulafa. Because someone who should be a Khalifa should be able to stamp his feet. When people refuse to pay zakat, and some of the Muslims were suggesting that Abu Bakr and Siddiq should leave them, what did Abu Bakr do? He insisted and said, no, this is what I want. So the one who cannot insist on a right that is clear to him based on the text is not qualified to be the Khalifa. But the case is not like that because he was not told that. So he does not have a reason to start insist that I'm supposed to be the Amir after the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Do you understand this? So they are claiming that the companions agree. That their tafsir will also be going to Ali radiallahu anhu because he was among those also who agreed. You know, in cases, there will be major evidences and there will be some evidences, so to speak. Other some evidences that indicated that Ali radiallahu anhu was very pleased with Abu Bakr being the Khalifa was, when Jaish Usama was going to Rome to fight the war against the Romans, you remember we mentioned that at the beginning, the Jaish of Usama, I think we mentioned that yesterday. Abu Bakr and Siddiq went with them until they got to the outskirts of Medina. And when they were going, Ali ibn Abi Talib was with him. When they were afraid that the people who refused to pay zakat and some of the tribes living around Medina who had went out of Islam and some of them were claiming messengership that they were coming to attack the Muslims in Medina, one of those who was meeting with Abu Bakr Siddiq at the border of Medina was Ali ibn Abi Talib. He was the first person to suggest to Abu Bakr that look, we are the Khalifa. Let you go back to Medina, let me stay here and take care of it. Just give us instruction, we'll obey. If he did not agree to the Khalifa, how will he go and sleep in the desert to protect the same Khalifa that he is supposed to be? So he was pleased with it. So he also agreed that the next Khalifa, the Khalifa after the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa sallam, should be Abu Bakr al-Siddiq. So their perceived by implication would also be touching Ali ibn Abi Talib, that they claim for whose sake they are doing what they are doing. He had died 40-50 years before all this, number one. Number two, all what they claim and ascribe to him, he doesn't know anything regarding them. Those people who started to claim partisanship with him, he dealt with them. So why now people now say that, okay, all those who agreed are kufar? It should be implying that they are also saying that Ali radiallahu anhu is the captain. So it's better to say that they are not Shia and Ali. They are just claiming, and they were named based on those claims that they are the parties of Ali radiallahu anhu, but Ali radiallahu anhu is actually free from them. So these are the Jarudiyya, one of the first amongst the Zaydiyya. The other group among the Zaydiyya are those that are called Sulaymaniyya. They took their name from a man called Sulaiman ibn Jarir al-Zaydi. They took their name from a man called Sulaiman ibn Jarir al-Zaydi. They say he is Sulaimaniyya. They say that it was correct that Abu Bakr al-Siddiq was the Khalifa. And it was correct that Umar radiallahu anhu is the Khalifa after him, radiallahu anhu. But they said that the fact that Uthman ibn Affan became Khalifa before Ali ibn Abi Talib is a proof that Uthman was a kafir. So the next tafsir of Uthman ibn Affan, radiallahu anhu. So because of that, the Ahlul Sunnah made tafsir of them. Because they made tafsir of Uthman ibn Affan. Do we understand? These are the Sulaymaniyya. But these Sulaymaniyya, the Jarudiyya among the Zaydiyya made tafsir of them. Because they accept the Khilafah of Abu Bakr al-Siddiq and Umar ibn al-Khattab. Then the Sulaymaniyya makes the fear of Jarudiyya because they reject the Khilafah of Abu Bakr al-Siddiq and Umar ibn al-Khattab. Do you understand? So they also make the fear of one another, both though they are all Zaydiyya. The third group among the Zaydiyya, they are those who are referred to as Al-Butriyya. These people, they are the followers of the man called Al-Hasan ibn Salih Al-Hamdani. This man is usually referred to as Al-Abdar. Al-Abdar. That is what he's referred to. And it is from that they pick the name. What they say, what these people say, are like what the Sulaymaniyya say, that it was right that Abu Bakr and Siddiq and Umar ibn Khattab were the Khalifa, but they do not say that Uthman ibn Affan is the Caliph. These people, Al-Butriya, amongst the Zaydiya, they do not say, they do not make the fear of Uthman ibn Affan. They say they don't know whether Uthman ibn Affan is invited or not, they don't know. But they do not also make the fear of him. But all these three people, so because of these people, that the scholars are usually lenient with them, this last set amongst the Zaydiyya, do you understand? The Butriya, because they do not make the fear. But they also have a belief that is similar to that of the Khawarij, which is that anyone who commits a major sin will stay in hell forever. Any person who commits the major sin will stay in hell forever. And all the people of Zaydiyya sect believe this also. All Zaydiyya among the Shia, they believe in the Khulud, Khulud Finar, Man Yastakibul Kabira, the one who persists upon a major sin. They believe that he is going to be in hell forever. So these people also believe in this. And the ulama make inkar of these regarding them. So here I will clarify a matter we had mentioned earlier, though it had not resulted, that some scholars of hadith reported hadith from some of them. Those among the Shia that some of the ulama reported hadith from, they are from these last sect who do not make the fear of the companion. Because you may see the hadith of one of them in Prime Muslim. This man that was referred to as Al-Abdar, he had a hadith in Prime Muslim that Imam Muslim reported. And the scholars have authenticated the hadith. So the reason why the ulama accept that, even when they make inkar, that they are saying that some of the people who will be in, who commit major sins from this ummah will be in hell forever. The ulama make inkar of that, but they narrate narrations from them. Do we understand? So those are the Zaydiyya amongst the Shia. And the Zaydiyya, as we mentioned, are those three groups. And we have mentioned some of what differentiates one of the groups from the other. The second major sect are those referred to as Kaysaniyya. Kaysaniyya. These are those who take affiliation with the man referred to as Mukhtar ibn Abi Ubayy al-Saqafi. Mukhtar ibn Abi Ubayy al-Saqafi. He is the one who has the nickname called Kaysan. They refer to him as Kaysan. These people, they are divided into two sects, the Kaysaniyya. They are divided into two groups. And their major belief is they are saying that the right person to be the Khalifa was Muhammad ibn Hanfiyah. Muhammad ibn Hanfiyah. Even when one of the groups believed that this Muhammad ibn Hanfiyah, that he is a Nabi. They believe that he is a prophet and that he never died and that he is in a mountain called Rabwa. They believe that Muhammad ibn Hanfiyah never died and that he is in a cave in a mountain called Hanfiyah, and that in that cave he has two fountains. One of the fountains brings water, the other fountain brings honey. And since then until now, he has been feeding only on, subhanAllah, he has been feeding only on honey and water. And up to his right, he has a lion, and to his left, he has a leopard. This lion and the leopard, they are the ones that will challenge anyone who wants to fight him. This is what they say. This is what they say. And the baselessness of all this is something that is ordinarily clear. Because they are just baseless. Allah has not created any human being to live forever. Allah has not created any human being to live forever. So how can it be said that Muhammad ibn Hanfiyah is living and will live forever? Even when some of them also say that is the Mahdi and the Muntabar, that is the Mahdi that we are expecting, who will come at the end of time. But all these are business. Because the Prophet told us in authentic narrations regarding Al-Mahdi and the symbols and all these retreats we know Al-Mahdi. So these people, that is one of their beliefs. The second belief that the Qaysaniya they have, which is actually the reason for their succeed by the scholars, is that they believe that in the idea called Al-Bidah, this Al-Bidah is, they took it from Bada, something being apparent to you. They believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, sometimes some things are apparent to him like this. And at other times, those things that he knew, they change. And Allah does not know that he changed. The Qaysaniya believe in this, that it is attributable to Allah. That there are certain things Allah, Alhamdulillah, this is what they say, that Allah did not know. And sometimes later he will know them. They have this belief in Qaysaniya. And because of this, the ulama makes the fear of them. So these two things are common with the two groups of Qaysaniya. The first is that the Imam rightly should be, like they say, Muhammad ibn Hanafiya. What differentiates the two groups amongst them is their idea regarding Muhammad ibn Hanafiya. Some of them believe that he has died, and some of them believe that he's in the cave. So these are the two groups amongst them. But these two groups actually also believe that there are certain things at some times that Allah knows, and there are certain things at some times that Allah does not know. This is the height of baselessness and evil that they say. It will make all the rest of the claims that they claim to be evil when they attribute ignorance to Allah. Inshallah, we shall come back to that. The third group of the Shia, they are those referred to as the Gula. The Gula, the extremists amongst the Shia. The ulama also make the fear of this people. Because their own belief, they are worse than the belief of the rest of them. Some of them believe that Ali radiallahu anhu is a Nabi, is the prophet of Allah, among these Gula. And some of them believe that he being a Nabi stems from the fact that they say, let's go back to that, they say that the real Lord, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our Lord, our Master who created us, sustains us, who shall kill us and resurrect us on the day of Qiyamah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Most High, they believe that he is a man, he is a man of peace. And that this spirit manifests as a human being. And that spirit goes to the Anbiya. And after the Anbiya, that divine spirit goes to their imams. Do we understand? So they consider their imams as divine persons. Because they believe that anyone who will be the imam of people must be someone that has some level of divinity. And that's why the Imamiyya also, they have this belief. And that's why the Imamiyya, one of whom is Ayatollah Khomeini, he also believes that these imams, they are masumun, they don't make errors. They don't ever forget, lie and soul, they don't ever forget. And time does not arrest them. That is error. They don't forget and they don't ever err. Because of this trait of divinity that exists in them. So, and that's why one of the leaders referred to as Bayan ibn Sam'an, he considered himself God too. He said because there is that divine spirit in him. He is the Imam and he is God. So he claimed Rububiyya. And there are other ones amongst their imams also who also lay claim to Rububiyya. That is, that they create and sustain creation and other attributes of Rububiyya. So that they took part in creation. Because they believe that the whole of the spirit that was moving from one person to the other was one before. So at the end of the day, The belief of this scholar among the Shia will go back to the issue of Firuliyya, Wahdat al-Wujud, saying that all of things is God, but they only reduce the number of things they attribute to God, to their Imam, the Prophet, and then God Himself. So this is the reason why the Gulag among the Shia, the ulama make a tafsir of them. They also make claim that these Imams, of course, because they have divine attributes, they know God, they know the healing. That Allah said no one knows except Allah. They said they know all these things because they share from the attributes of their divinity, from that initial man spirit that they refer to as Allah. Do we understand? So the one who is saying, they are just saying, say it's political. Is it political? No one says this except someone who is ignorant. No one says it's a political matter. Now, is it a political matter? From all this we have heard, is it a political matter? So let people beware of what they say. It doesn't really matter. May Allah preserve us from goodness. So these are the third group amongst the Shia, the third major group amongst the Shia, called the Gulag. The fourth one, they are the Imamiyya. These people, they form the most popular Shia group in the world now. Most of those you are going to see in Iran and Bahrain and Kuwait and parts of Saudi Arabia and in other parts of the world, in parts of Nigeria, in Zaire, in Kano, in Kaduna, they belong to these Imamiyya group. They belong to these, they are the most popular group now, the Imamiyya. And they are also divided into 15 sects. So you see, you can't see you have 20 in all. Like Abu Qadir in Baghdad divided them. Many other scholars too. So they are divided into 15 sects, the Shia. And the Shia Imamiyya, one of who is Ayatollah Khomeini. So what we will mention about their beliefs are the beliefs of Khomeini. That some of the people of Arakiya, people who like revolution, have referred to as Imam. And some of those groups and factions that we mentioned, and about which we are saying that they are illegal groups of Muslim assemblage that we talked about, many of them take these people as their lawyers. And most of those who wrote the books that they read, that gear them up to let them rebel and make revolution, they take their inspiration from the works of Khomeini. And if there is someone that people like Sheikh Al-Albani Rahimahullah were clear about mentioning that they are kuffar, one of them is Ayatollah Khomeini. The shaitan from Iran. So the Imamiyya, one of whom we see, and many of the Shia we have in the world today,
are these those who have children, existing children to be increased by the given education?
These are the ones that are only for them. So, they are not too far from some of what we have mentioned. So, we mentioned a few of these, inshallah. The first of these, which is the most dangerous, is they also believe in Al-Bid'ah, that there are certain things that Allah does not know. You see, when one thinks about this concept of Al-Bid'ah that they claim, you find out that they needed that concept to verify their tafsir of the companion. That was what brought about that. Because Allah had said many complimentary things about the companion, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa sallam has said, the fact Allah said, Muhammad wa Rasulullah, وَالَّذِينَ مَعَهُ أَشِدَّاءُ عَلَى الْكُفَّارِ رُحَمَاءُ بَيْنَهُمْ تَرَاهُمْ رُكَّعًا سُجَّدًا يَبْتَغُونَ فَضْلًا مِنَ اللَّهِ وَرِضْوَانًا سِيمَاهُمْ فِي وُجُوهِهِمْ مِنْ أَثَرِ السُّجُودِ ذَلِكَ أَصَابِي أمني أنا في القرآن كنت خير أمة أخرجت للناس تأمرون بالمعروف كنتم وي في فارسي The companions رضي الله عنه you you are the best في الفرق كيف صلى الله عليه وسلم خير الناس قربه the best of people are my companions so because they now want to fortify it is difficult to swallow this with all the rest of the claims they have to ascribe unto Allah what they should not ascribe unto him so do they think that if Ali radi Allah anhu to whom they also ascribe themselves were to be alive and they say regarding Allah that in fact one of the scholars is saying that the Shia worship a Jahil God they worship an ignorant God a God that is a Jahil the reason is again besides the fear of the companions why they have to say that is if they say and claim that Allah at some time did not know some things a'udhu billah and that later he knew them then it should imply that there are certain things in the Sharia now that should be changed if you ask them why they changed it they say Allah did not know that those things would not be appropriate at the time he was giving those legislations so those things will change and that's why issues of mut'ah was easy to introduce it's just the issue of this mut'ah is what is a minor thing if you come if they have if you look at what they have in their belief the mut'ah matter when they agree on marriage for a specific time a man and a woman they come together and like to marry you they say for how long 1 hour 2 hours 30 minutes 3 days 3 months so they fix the time so the woman say how much will you pay me to be my husband for 30 days so they fix the price people like so many believe that the one who has not done that his iman is incomplete sometimes if you go for heart when I see this the old women amongst them I used to imagine how many men have climbed this woman do you understand what I'm saying if you see an old woman who is a shia you can imagine in your mind that this one how many and you say they are not good at old age they are so bad because you know zina tire people zina wear people out because she's taking the illnesses from individuals so they get worn out easily so you begin to imagine this one based on the fact that she's thinking her failure she's thinking that she's serving Allah with this how many men have had to climb up at old age like that Allah so what makes it so to speak easy for them to bring these ideas in this concept of al-bid'ah saying that there are certain things Allah did not know he only came to know them later that if he had known everything it would be difficult But Allah is al-alim li kulli shay. He says Allah ya'lamu man khalaqa wa huwa al-latif al-khabir. The one who created all, will he not know what he has created? So, wa anna Allah qad ahata bi kulli shay'in ilma. The knowledge of Allah encompasses everything. It is authentic in the hadith that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that the first thing Allah created is a pen. It has explanations. But we'll not go to that, we'll come back so that it does not take our time. The issue of the first thing Allah created. Do we understand? So the Prophet says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said that the first thing Allah created is a pen. And Allah commanded the pen to write. The pen said, what will I write? Allah said, write what shall happen from now until when there will be nothing existing. And it wrote. So if you say Allah knew some things, I did not know some things, what do you do with this hadith? And many verses of the Quran where Allah claims knowledge of everything. وَأَنَّ اللَّهَ بِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ عَلِيمٍ Allah knows surely Allah is the knower of everything. بِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ خَبِيرٌ خَبِيرٌ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ خَبِيرٌ بِمَا يَفْعَلُونَ So what do you do with that? So they claim that their own God, not Allah, the one they worship, the shaitan they worship, is a jahil. It's a jahil God they worship. They have this in their books. And people like so many also believe that. Allah understands.
And they believe that the one who is able to actually say that many times, the more times he says it, the more his faith gets established. Al-Bijah, when you say it and preach it, the more faith you have. One of their scholars, in his book Usul al-Kafi, he said he was quoting someone that Al-Malik al-Juhani qala, سمعت أبا عبد الله عليه السلام يقول. This is how they pray for blessings for their imam. They say عليه السلام. So this one was quoting that imam, one of their imams, that he heard him saying that لو علم الناس ما في القول بالبدعة, where the people, where human beings, to know the value of saying that Allah knew some things and later he has to know some other things, and that initially he did not know something. If people know the value of that thing, min al-ajr, regarding the virtue and the reward they are going to get from it, ma fataru anil kalam fihi, they will never stop saying, talking about it. If people know the value of that, they will never stop talking. Every day in their sermons, they will say, yesterday Allah did not know something, so today Allah just knew them yesterday. The day he knew it, that was the day Allah knew it. So that is one of their very, very dangerous ideas that they claim. The second aspect that they also claim, the Shia Imamiya, is that they say, al-Iman bil-Imam, ruknun min arkan al-Imam. That someone believes in the Imam is one rukun, is one pillar from the pillars of Iman. We know the pillars of Iman. Al-Iman billahi wa malaikati. He brings him to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He asked him, akhbirni anil Iman. And he told him what Iman is. Did he say to him that part of Iman is Al-Iman bil Imam? And what they mean when they say Imam, they are talking about someone that has that divine attitude. That has divine, they also believe in that. And that's why part of what we read regarding those, they are a'imma, is that they don't make mistakes, because they also receive revelation. We'll mention it, inshallah. They believe that their imam receive revelation. And that's why they believe that anyone who does not believe in the imamship of their imam is a kafir. In fact, one of them said that it's a kafir like the one who does not believe in the messengership of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. All these ideas, Khomeini believe them. The modern day Shia, you see, Zakizaki, people shout, let them see Zakizaki. You will say that again on the day of Qiyamah. So they seek to say that because they are ignorant regarding these matters. Even when what Zakizaki does, people don't know the basis of what he does. And perhaps he himself does not know it. One of our learned people in Zaria, in the program, he raised 100,000 and said, anybody who can produce a cassette where Zakizaki made tafsir of Quran, you should come and take this 100,000. What he says is news. He will tell you about news and he will be making tashjih with that. That is mobilizing people to say, oh, let's go jihad. That's all. So it's even possible that he doesn't know all this. Because Papa, even what I heard regarding him, that he doesn't even know Arabic. He can't read in Arabic. The man calls the Zakizaki. So only Allah knows how many little young girls in Iran that he would have done good Arabic. So these are the people who come to the country now and begin to spread these ideas. They are ignorant, and the people who follow them are also ignorant. Allah Allah. They also have some followers. It's not only in the north, even in Kwara, you see them. And there are 1, 2, 3 you will see in other parts too. And from the dangerous things also about them is they never make you know their identity. They refer to that as Taqiyya. If you ask them whether they are Shia, they say no, they are not Shia. They are the Sunnah of Jama'ah. In fact, some of the scholars say that they have songs of praise for each of the companions. They are going to read those songs of praise to you. They are reading it to you so that you can think that they are not Shia. So that's why it becomes very dangerous. Because they will make you feel that, don't worry, I'm not Shia. That is when they feel that they cannot freely express themselves in that environment where they are. Else, they are the worst enemies of the Muslims, of the people of Sunnah. So when people are shouting, Hizbullah, Hizbullah, know what you are saying. Some people will say, let them go and fight for Hizbullah in Lebanon. Are these people not even worse than the Jews? Are they not worse than the Jews in their belief? And even the Christians in their belief? They are worse. They are worse. So we should be careful about the Shia. They are very dangerous people. Some people go to the net, they say you are chatting with a Shia, be careful. They say you are chatting with a Shia, be careful. You go to their site and read their books, be careful. Because the time that these worms and viruses get to your heart, you would not know. May Allah save us from it. So the second belief about them is the issue of their imam. That they claim that their imam are people who never make errors. Part of their belief also is the religious imam. They believe that these imams that they are talking about, the last of them, who is referred as Muhammad ibn Hassan, that now he is in the hiding. He will come out at the end of the world. They believe that when this Muhammad ibn Hassan, Khomeini believes this, Ayatollah Khomeini, he believes this. His comments are quoted in the books and in these that I'm holding. He has written many books on these matters. Ayatollah Khomeini. Someone wanted to say about Ayatollah Khomeini one day. He didn't know about the evil of the man. I started to praise him that he's one of the greatest scholars of Islam. He said, say which Islam? Which Islam? And that he was the one who revived Islam and the Muslims. And that Khomeini is a very powerful person. He doesn't have more than one turban and one jalabiya and then one giga cloak that he wears. One cloak that he wears. And that he actually sleeps on the table. And so he sleeps on the table. So what happened? What happened? So he is sleeping on the table. He doesn't spend the money of the people of Iran. Summa Mada, Omar ibn al-Khattab is better than him billion times. In fact, they are not to be compared. But Omar radiallahu anhu used to sleep on leaves that are tied together. And he was the Amir of the Muslims. How many people are the whole of the people of Iran? Are they up to 20 to 30 million? If they are, the Muslims that Omar ibn al-Khattab controlled, they span from the present day Iran, where there are no Shia at the time, to Libya today. Look at the spans of land, and yet it's left on a mass that is made from leaves in Tawud. And yet it's a billion times not to be compared with the Ayatollah Khomeini. So what is the Khairiyya of Khomeini? What is the good about him? And even if he did that, who will give him the reward? La nukimu lahu yawm al-qiyamati wazna. He does not have a scale that work will be put into on the day of Qiyamah. So let him even not eat until he dies. He has nothing to receive from all this. Because he believes in all this. And this is what, and he died upon it, defending it, writing on it, proving against it, and proving for, and defending it. So we should be careful with all these things. And do not think that they are just matters that people are just talking about so that people can laugh and say, there are some Muslims called Shia, there are some Muslims called Sunni. You should be careful about that. And those who also express this taqiyya, most of those who will say La Shia wa La Islam, La Shia wa La Sunni, they are part of them. That is part of the statement of taqiyya that they employ. You say Shia, I say no, La Shia wa La Sunni, you are a Shia. So they say no, don't say Shia, don't say Sunni. So that they use these as the attitude among the people. There may be the people in the masses spending a lot of money, but that doesn't make anything. That doesn't make anything. So brothers, let us be careful. So they believe that this imam in hiding, Muhammad ibn Hassan, they believe that when he was in the womb of his mother, that he used to read Quran inside the womb. Look at the guy. He used to read Quran inside the womb. And that the day he was born, he stood up and shook every person who came to see his mother. Allah. He was taking the people who came to see his mother, and that Immediately he came out from the womb, the first thing he did was to make sujood.
That's the alarm.
And that he was saying, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa anna jaddi Muhammadan Rasulullah. That I testify that there is no deity worthy of worship except Allah. And that my great grandfather Muhammad, the messenger of Allah, sorry. He said, wa inna abi amirul mu'mineen. And that my father is also testifying, and that my father is amirul muslims. His father is, that is meaning here, is also the great grandfather. These things are lies. These people don't know anything about all these things. But they fabricated this story so that the stupid people following them too can enjoy it and say, yes, we agree. Don't forget, we had mentioned the people, that there are always three people in the Ummah regarding knowledge. Don't forget, the senseless, useless people, that everything excited them, every nonsense excited them, every useless thing excited them. And were there no people in the history who will take people they refer to as Christoph? Tell me stories, and that will just look up and start telling one story, and they'll be giving him money. Is it not the same thing that people are doing today? That someone stands up and starts saying, he's a mad person, he's mad. And people are giving 20 naira. They are dancing and giving 20 naira on his head. Don't be surprised, it's the same thing. In fact, these people are worse because they, in their own case, nobody was singing or drumming. But now they are singing and dancing and bringing 100 naira or dollars. And that will be singing and dancing, saying that some people are hard, some people are healthy, and giving them money. So nobody, that's why Allah mentioned that the people who follow these people are Gawu. Yes, tell me, Ohumu Lukawu. The people who follow them, they're senseless. So who hears this kind of things and feels that, yes, this is Islam? It is clear nonsense. And these are the basics that the Shia base their deen upon. So they believe that this person is now hiding somewhere, one day he will come out. He will come out as Imam, the so-called Imam. And that is coming out is another basis of an Akidah with them, because they believe that one day he will come out as Imam. We had mentioned that they also say that their Imam have Isma. They don't make errors. They have divine protection of Allah from errors, and that they never err. They also believe that these Imams are better than the Malaika and the Rusul, the angels, the messengers of Allah, that these people are better than them. And there are so many things these people know, the Anbiya do not know it. Of course, when they believe that there are certain things they know that Allah also knew later, it is very cheap to say that their Imams believe some things that the Prophet and the Malaika did not know. These are some of the beliefs of the Shia Imamiya, who are the very popular Shia group today in the world, as we have it. May Allah preserve us upon goodness. The last one I would like to mention, though we have regularly repeated it, but they said very worse things about it, was their tafsir of the companions of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said very bad things about them. Even Khomeini, he said if he had the opportunity to capture Makkah and Medina, he would remove the graves of the two devils behind, besides the grave of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We'll be referring to as the devils. Abu Bakr al-Siddiq and Umar ibn al-Khattab. So we should know what we say about these people. So the Shia, even when they claim partisanship with Ali radiallahu anhu, they have nothing to do with him. They even say that the wives of the Prophet radiallahu anhu are prostitutes, like Aisha radiallahu anhu, and others amongst them. They say that they are prostitutes. This is what the Shia say, and that they are not from the Ahlul Bayt. I do not know how you ask a man came for Ahluk, and you are not asking about his household. Because the Ahl of a man starts with his wife. And the verb that they employ to make this nonsense in the Quran is a verb that is talking about the wives of the Prophet. And then that people like Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal and Ibn Taymiyyah, they say, the Ibn Taymiyyah was reported to have taken it from Ahmad bin Hanbal, that if a person of bid'ah quotes a verse to establish a bid'ah, don't bother. Just that verse, be looking at it very well, you will see what he contradicts, what he says in that same verse. that Allah said to the wives of the Prophet رضي الله عنهن that يا نساء النبي لستن كأحد من النساء إن استقيتن فلا تخضعن بالقول فيطمع الذي في قلبه مرض وقلن قولا معروفا وقرن في بيوتكن ولا تبرجن تبرج الجاهلية الأولى وأقمن الصلاة وآتين الزكاة وأطعن الله ورسوله إنما يريد الله ليذهب عنكم الرجس أهل البيت ويطهركم تطهيرا. Look at how Allah said it. يا نساء النبي. I don't think that one needs explanation. O wives of the Prophet. لستن كأحد من النساء. He started to give them instruction. You are not like other women. If you must fear Allah, فلا تخضعن بالقول. When you speak clearly, don't twist your voice. وكلنا قولا معروفا. Speak straight, nicely. وقرن في بيوتكن. Stay more in your room. ولا تبرجن تبرج الجاهلية الأولى. When you go out dressed properly, don't expose your adornment. As the people of the first days of Jahiliyyah used to do, that is before Messenger she came. He says, وَأَكِمْنَا الصَّلَاةَ فَقَمْ صَلَاةَ وَأَكِمْنَا الزَّكَاةَ pay zakah. If you ask me how a woman can pay zakah, in many ways, she can have something inherited from her family, from which you pay zakah. He says, وَأَطِينَ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ follow Allah and obey Allah and His Messenger. Say, إِنَّمَا يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ all these things I'm telling you, Allah says He intends by me, لِيُزْهِبَ عَنْكُمُ الرِّجِزَ أَهْلَ الْبَيْتِ to get them purified of evil. O ye household of the Messenger. وَيُطَهِرَكُمْ تَطْهِيرًا and purify them in a very purified manner. So they say this verse does not refer to the wives of the Prophet. So who is the verse addressing in the first place? They said because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam one day invited Ali ibn Abi Talib, invited Fatima and Hassan and Hussein and said that these are my household. Yes, the hadith is authentic. But Al Imam Shinkiti rahimahullah, while responding to this verse, he quoted a qaida of usul that sabab al-nuzul fi qati'ati al-dukhul la yuqarriduhu al-mukharrij. The sabab al-nuzul, the reason for the revelation of a verse of the Quran, fi qati'ati al-dukhul, it is clearly and explicitly irremovably part of the ruling. La yuqarriduhu al-mukharrij. What removes something from being a part of a ruling cannot remove the reason, the application of that rule to the reason for which the verse was revealed. The verse was revealed regarding the words of the Prophet radiallahu anhu. So how can that hadith be a muharrij that will remove them from the ruling? The question is, what then does the hadith mean? The hadith is just telling us that because basically the household of a man are his wife and those living under his household. And Ali ibn Abi Talib was not living under the household of the Prophet. Neither was Hassan and Hussein. Neither was Fatima. They were living on their own. They had their own house. So because they were not there ordinarily, they had to be included. So the Prophet included them. But the people who were originally part of that household were the wives of the Prophet and those living under his household. So that's empty matter. So brothers, let us be careful. So then when they go ahead and say, no, they are not part of his household. The Prophet has said that my household, they even add salt to the wound. That Umm Salama radiallahu anha was saying to the Prophet that put me also. The Prophet said, no, you just wait there. Yes, because she's already there. She doesn't need to be initiated into the household again. She's basically there. In fact, Allah started the bath by calling her and the rest of her maids. Ya Nisa Nabi, the only wife of the Prophet. So the matter is clear, but because of ignorance and the fact that Allah misled them on their ignorance and their knowledge. Adallahu Allahu ala ilmi. They knew what Allah misled them. They got misled and He increased them in being misled. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. So these are a few things regarding the Shia. So when they say Shia, they are partners of Aliyah, the Ali doesn't have anything to do with them, radiallahu anhu. And they don't have anything to do with Ali, radiallahu anhu. أقول ما أقول هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله. I hope each and every one of us will try to share really particularly this period. when they are trying to establish themselves in this country. From left, right, and center, we have the call for Shiism. And one thing about them, for those who have been to Hajj, these people, they come for Hajj in hundreds, even thousands, to go and perform Hajj. But you can easily identify them, they are, I mean, they are easy to identify. But if you are taken to Medina, after to have the Shah, they normally carry themselves around the close to Baki. So you got themselves, you can still recognize the idea with this last turban, that what do you call it? Cloak.
With shaven beard.
With shaven beard.
Looking very dead.
So, and you'll be singing. When you listen to them, you probably be recited some verses of the Quran or. They are not even speaking Arabic. They are speaking their own dialect, though their dialects are written in the Arabic script. So when they sing, they are praising the Prophet, they are crying. So, most of the time, they come around to talk to you. And one thing about the people of India is that they are always very friendly. In order to catch you, they become very friendly to you. They are ready to serve you. They have, I mean, they serve. After the message of Prophet Muhammad, they have a particular house, very big that is at the Hawaiian side. So they normally invite some people. Do you know that some of the people who have traveled a year ago, performed the Hajj, some people from Lagos, they became victims of their dawah. So they find that we got to the camp, Lagos camp, I mean, where they were then, and were trying to really talk to them. And they said, okay, this issue of Sunni and Shia Muslims from Lagos now, let's forget it. We are, you know, what we should even talk about is that some Muslims have been oppressed in this place, you know, and don't you know that these people, they don't even believe in our country, that is a political matter. They invite you, give you, honor you, provide tea, provide anything for you, and they say we are one, whatever, and you see their symbol is like this. That's not true. You hide the lecturer. That is not the truth. Many people were carried away by the revolution of Rome in 1979. Because Muslims throughout the world were hesitating for somebody like somebody who would liberate us from the oppression of the colonialists. But unfortunately, it happened to be the man who came around to show that he was fighting for Islam and the woman and everybody like, you know, the thing that happened in life was happening throughout the world. Like, okay, whatever the way he did there was right and everything. Before people now started to learn about who the Shia really are. And by the time they went, I mean, went into the Akida and they realized the Akida, some people will do. So, Shia, they are not people we can cooperate with. Let's agree, I mean, let's cooperate on what we agree with and maybe forget about our disagreement. That is not Islam. Allah has informed us that he united us when we are in the middle of the device of the Qur'an. Allah brought us together, then we turn one, that we should go down to the Habi. And what are the colors have said about Habi in the group of Allah? That is the Qur'an and the Sunnah. So if you do not understand it, you will understand it. There's no way we can cooperate. If somebody has the principle of the media, that means it's more dangerous than anybody on the topic of that. Well, you don't know me. You don't know whether it's even related to you on the basis of the truth or falsehood. But the man has a principle that he believes that he can apply at any time to speak for that. So I have to die for this opportunity that we know them now, then we'll be able to run away from them. Please, you are not there to be cannot be called that don't engage in the problem without the media, so that you will not question your mind. So now some questions concerning the lecture. Now, the third question is, what is your comment about, because we are talking about books, texts, and many things, there is a question about the particular person, the man has to be to see the common between them. What do you want to say about them?
Well, Jama'atul Ibadatul Bid'ah or Iqamatul Sunnah, as the name sounds, those who have come to put away, put off things of Bid'ah and then establish the Sunnah. If you want to know more about them, you can read Sheikh Mahmoud Zaini's biography, Where I Stand. It discussed from origin of Izalatul Bid'ah. But what Izalatul Bid'ah has turned to be now itself is becoming a group of people of Bid'ah itself. Don't forget that we had said at the beginning of all these programs that the Muslims should run away from factions and societies and associations. You only cooperate with Muslims as a Muslim, the way a Muslim should relate with another Muslim. But having societal and associational affiliations, you should run away from it. So else, Jama'atul Ibadatul Bid'ah itself is becoming a Jama'atul Tayyun itself for the people of Bid'ah. Because there are many things in Sunnah now that they themselves do not accept, even when they had accepted it before. And this was part of what led to the break of the Jama'at. They now have the Jobs group and then the Kaduna stroke Northwestern group. But the Jobs group, they call them the name, I don't know now, but the Jobs group and the Kaduna group. And these two are different. In fact, one of the groups makes the fear of another group. One of the groups makes the fear of another group. One of the brothers who had come here before for a program said to me that they went for a dawah program. One of the groups went, he was part of them. One of the groups, he says now that he's no more part of them because they are trying to keep him now. Allah. Then one of the groups went for a dawah in a village with Mushrikun. And many of them became Muslims. The other group went there to tell them that, look, you see how you were before in your group, you are better than those people who come to Christianity. You are better than them. So they make the fear. Now, groups, the sides make the fear of one another. So what is necessary is, for example, what we had said at the beginning, the Muslims should keep away from societal affiliation. We encourage people who are already involved in societal affiliations to leave out societal affiliations in their way, in their practice of Islam. This will make them evaluate and see Islam in its true color, not within the tinted glasses of factionalism and associationism. Because there is nothing in all these other than societal affiliations, even some of the evils of societal affiliations that we are seeing. So the evil is now really, really manifesting among Jama'atullah, Izalatul Bid'ah. They are not really like I knew them before. Before it was just khilaf, differences in matters of fiqh. Where I was living before now, there were two groups of Izalah, but not this kind of groups we have now. It was the issue of Salam Adaya, Salam Adin. It's in Hausa. That means some people believe that you can make one taslim, and some people believe that you must make two taslim. This thing divided one masjid. I got to that masjid the second day it happened. And the Imam left Salah, he made one taslim. He made two taslim. So someone, I performed Salah and I made two taslim. The Imam made one taslim before his Salah. So I made my nafil and I made two taslim. Someone came and told me that you made two taslim, yes. He said, come, he dragged me out. He was saying to me that, do I ever try that tell me? He said, what happened? So when I got to him, I was asking my brother, they were the one who now informed that yesterday, I know all the people involved. I know them as first. Because that's why he was not telling that yesterday so-so person and so-so person were fighting the masjid. Because one salama or two salama. So because of that, there's another masjid that was formed. So we call each of the masjid salama daya. So, this was the kind of thing that Izala became. You can see that it's not the cover to Sunnah again. But what brought about that is getting to practice Islam from the tinted goggles of factionalism and associationism. Allahu Akbar.
Now, the question here, two people have the same question. First, how can we recognize Shia concerning their mode of worship and clothing? The other one says, how can we identify the Shia in Nigeria? Do they have a clear faith and attitude? Let us know.
Well, the Shia that we have seen now, they are the people who just tell you about, because they have some uniformity in the way they appear. You have to see them now with their hadi. You have to see the Iranians now and the Shia from Bahrain and those from Wales that I have seen. You have to see them now, hadi. They are able to see them with their. And most of the time, they are wearing shirts and trousers. Easily, when you see them, you recognize them. Another thing with which you recognize them is they are very aggressive. Very, very aggressive. Perhaps because of the hatred they have for Ahlus Sunnah. In fact, they have slogans. They have slogans they make. I'm looking for a library. They have slogans because at the point in time, we're going to start with the slogans. They have slogans they make when they see that Ahlus Sunnah, they have so many in Nigeria because of their aggression. They make those slogans. I can't make them here because I don't want you to know it. But I know the slogan. So they make the slogan to like gear them up when they see people of Sunnah. Then there are women, they don't cover their faces and they don't sew their hijab as we sew them. They roll it round themselves. You see them putting the hijab in their mouth. They put it in their mouth and roll it round themselves. This is how they wear their hijab. And most of the time, they are wearing like trousers and things like that. So especially if you go for Hajj, you see this kind there. But here in Nigeria, I have not known any physical attributes with them in Nigeria. Perhaps if Mother Muhammad Awan Al-Bari is here, because he last Hajj was telling me in Makkah that he believes that any alim in Nigeria who does not tell the people about the evil of the Shia is a munafiq. He said because now they are the most dangerous people who are preaching in Nigeria now, the Shia. They are very dangerous now. So he was saying that if he returns to Nigeria, he's going to start a new war with them. You know, and it's always like that with them. And Allah gave him a lot of assistance regarding this. Especially in the north. If there is anyone who fights publicly against the Shia in this manner, every day announcing them, the one who just got killed recently in Sokoto. So they are already talking about the Shia. So perhaps if he's here, he can tell us what you see of them physically. But you will regularly notice aggression with them. Show aggression. And, perhaps the man should be able to tell us. And, You find that they are very, very aggressive at you. When you read Daily Trust, also be careful, Daily Trust newspapers. Because there are the likes of Adamu Adamu there, who is known for Shiism in Nigeria. I think I'm just mentioning this because of this place I'm sitting now, and it has to be mentioned, so that you know them and be careful. Adamu Adamu has written works that have clearly shown the Shiism. One of which is abusing the pious predecessors and calling them names. He wrote it in the newspaper. I wrote a rejoinder, they refused to publish it. We sent it, they refused. Later, one of the brothers we called, one of the doctors we called, told us that they said they would never publish it. So I said, why do you say there are some of their leaders who are known with Shiism in Daily Trust? So you should be careful when you read that newspaper. You can be free to say this anywhere and there is no being ashamed. And that's why most of their pictures, when they take international pictures, they take pictures a lot from Iran. They take wicked teachers a lot from Iran. I read the paper as well. I can keep all this my idea that I have about them that they are pro-Shia in Nigeria. So Allah Allah, these are some of the things that I just mentioned regarding that. Now, Yama will tell us much.
There's a big user problem. We have not heard that blocking people. The economy, there's a Peugeot car, 3X719EKY. 3X719EKY. This is the owner of that car.
Alhamdulillah, we thank you ourselves for the talk on that. Well, I'm just going to add so much more things to know the share. Because I've had dealings with a couple of them, and I know some of the things that is peculiar to them. One of the things that is peculiar to them, and that's very interesting for me, when I knew, they don't eat scaled fish. Any fish that has scale, they don't eat it. If you give it to them, they won't eat it. And it's very peculiar to the Jews. This is also the peculiarity of the Jews. They don't eat scaled fish. So this is one of the things that, so if you know a chef, just buy scaled fish and send to him as a gift. So I'll see whether he will eat it or not. So this is one of the things that they have about them. And they are also very good. They like Muta a lot. Muta. They like it a lot. They want marriage. They do it a lot. Here in Nigeria, I know a couple of them that have done it. They do Muta for like 1 month. They marry one of their girls for 1 month. After 1 month, after they are completed with her several times, they just go. We are finished. And that's the end. I know a sister that they did that too. Unfortunately, the sister did not know they were being mutah with her. And after the period of the marriage elapsed, they said, oh, that's all. The sister was very surprised. What are you talking about? We married legally. Said, no, I did mutah with you. You didn't tell me you are doing any mutah with me. So and that was how they behaved. The lady was very disappointed. I'm not going to lie, the lady is married to someone else now. I'm the son, inshallah. And so long they are married to the Shia. And one of the things they also do is that, apart from the fact that they cause all the companions, they have special hatred for Abu Ghraib. They have special hatred for Abu Ghraib. So I know one of them that I don't say that he is more knowledgeable than Abu Ghraib. So I'm also noting. Then he is more knowledgeable than Abu Ghraib. So anytime they want to take the Al-Nabi Hurayrata, Kala Rasulullah, they want to make this to Abu Hurayrata. That's how they do it. That's what they say. And also their call to prayer is also very different from our call to prayer. When they call to prayer, they ask to be Ash'adu Anna Ali, Wali Allah. When you say Ash'adu Anna Muhammad Rasulullah, after that you say Ash'adu Anna Ali, Wali Allah. They were added to it. So this is a part of their faith. They are here in Nigeria. I don't think they are talking about people in Iran already. They are here with you, here. Here in the middle of the air. So that's why it's very important that you have to pay attention to some of these things, because you don't know where you're going to have to get to. You know, come across with them, and they will try to introduce their agenda to you. So that's why you have to be wary of them. All right.
But we avoid it. So, if we listen to all that has been told, this is to move away from sectionality, throwing yourself into one particular group. But this does not mean that you should not start fighting them. Elitisha should commit trouble, maybe smack them, beat them. That is not the manner of Ahl-Sunnah. Because we are not in Dawah Islamiyah. We are not in an Islamic state. I mean, where the government is a Muslim government. And now the Sunnah government that is ready to deal with anybody who goes against the Sunnah or society, the companions, or maybe blaspheme the Prophet of Allah and his household. So since you are not in that society, you know the evil of all the sects being mentioned, and try to run away from them. Just teach yourself to the true Sunnah. You relate with other Muslims as Muslims, not that you must belong to a particular group. Belonging to a particular group, this may eventually lead you into bid'ah. There are a lot of people who have said want to spread Sunnah and they form a society. And that they started moving from away from the Sunnah little by little. And you know one thing, you as an individual, as a Muslim, you make a mistake. People will attack you for your mistake. But when you come together and you make mistakes together to decide you of that mistake to be manifest and clear, it's easier than when you, as a Muslim, make a mistake. So at least the evil with all these jama'at, you may see people calling you to believe that you have to join the jama'at. Tell them you don't need all this. Just stick to the Sunnah of the Prophet of Allah Sallam, and you also get connected to the scholars, the students of knowledge, that they tell you what is right and what you should pray away from. So don't say they send a Shia disease and start looking for those who kill you. You know, there are Christians that are not Muslims in Nigeria. How many of them are Christians? So if not choose any of them, you live with them just as neighbors, but you know, you also criticize some of the things that they do, or most of what they are upon of this business akida. So wow.
So we have two questions that are asking about the what's going on in the media today about the Sunni Shia crisis in Iraq. I said that Shia is in Iraq except under the platform of Shia, and what are the differences between the Sunni and the Shia? So this thing has blown in the media now, the Sunni Shia crisis.
Well, I think this was the background with which we started this program. That the media has presented a political picture as if those migrants, they are just fighting on who to be the president. Those migrants, they are just fighting on Ali or no Ali, Ali Shukri Khalifa, no Abu Bakr. It's more than all this. So this is what the media has presented, and the media that has presented that is that that is killing this negative conditioning of our mind that we should have against these ideas of the Shia. It is killing it, it is playing it down, making it seem it's not bad, there's nothing wrong about that. You understand? So it's making things difficult for the Muslims to rightly understand the perspective. Hell, all what we have said here is that the Shia and Ahlus Sunnah is the same thing the two parties hold. But they will tell that no, it's just a matter of who takes what and what goes to who. And I think that answers the question, Allah wise. One other thing with which the Shia is known is wherever they are, they like political authority. They like to be the leader of wherever they are. Wherever they are, they want you to say that they are the leader. They want to be controlling the rest of the people. And this is manifest in most of the ways that the Shia is behaving in most of the parts of the world. So it is very important that that is also noted. They like to be the people who are lording over the rest of the people, and the rest of the people are just following them and they guide them and control them. Someone says, can we pray behind you? I think all these are clear from all these we have mentioned. Will you be happy to stand behind someone like this and pray behind you, like we have described all their attributes? Will you be able to do it? So don't even an Ahlus Sunnah, who is known to be one who persists on a major thing. If there is no threat of breaking Jamaah, or a threat that he will punish us with something, we are not to pray to him. If there is no threat, it is something, it is a necessity that will make us pray behind a Muslim, with an imam, that we know speak. It is a situation of darura that will make us pray behind such person. And we must do it. One of which is breaking the ranks of the people, and the other is what he is going to do to us of such a condition. When these two things are not there, we should not. So we should be careful. Then I'm going to stand behind someone who makes a fit, and then perhaps wants to make suju, he brings out one anki from his pocket containing white sand, the sand of the Karbala. He puts it in front of your anki. He puts it in front of him, and then he makes suju on him. How are you going to make your own suju? And there are many things you say in Salah that is different from what they say in Salah. So how can you stand behind that kind of a person? Do you think he can stand behind you? So the question is already answered in the whole of the discussion. Allahu Akbar.
One of the things that you should look is, this man is every year showing from CNN, showing from many cable channels, is during the Muharram period when they mourn the death of the Hussein. You know, one of the things the President we should not do when somebody dies is to wait. They are not going to go beyond meeting. They have to even injure themselves and blood eating out of their body, expressing mourning of the death of the king. They show them. I mean, this can't be from Islam, you should know that. There's somebody who asked me a question, maybe the person was not here yesterday, wanted to call him out of the league, call him out of some idea. Okay. Tabligh, we know that they go out on the way of Allah to call people to the way of Allah. And they originated, their founder, they originated from India. They have a... Okay, now they have a center in Pakistan. So they have their own ways of believing that movement from one month to the other, and they have what they call the 6 points, which is the basis of the Dawa. And they don't normally engage the president in discussing anything outside that the 6 points. They don't take on them. We never see them going against the political or talk out of politics or things like that, no. So they have the 4 month program, they have the 40-day program, they have the 10 days or 3 days program. So we can say okay, next one can be just to go out in the world of our. They also try to do some sunnah and also so yeah, therefore they try to they have some errors, and some of the beliefs go remain the correct akida, especially when you go through their books, Allah Ahmad and from other books. So there are a lot of complicated and weak ahead in the green coast. And mostly the majority of them were based on the first hour of the Indian of many people of the town. But what the scholars have said, some scholars have criticized them heavily. Five of them have said that anybody who wants to go out to them should be 90% to try to correct them of their errors. I think that is the factual thing that she will not have a man from him. As he wants to go out to them, he should be somebody who can help him to teach them. So, but, there are some other traits. So that's what the judge can say about them. But if they have so a deep an effect, before the Jama'a has to be improved, so that the one that does not belong to any group. We take what, I mean, we acknowledge what they are doing as a good, and we reject whatever is not good in what they are doing. There are some who think one of the guys is known, they are either very well, and then they are still something maybe some of them. Why some not outrightly condemn them that they are not part of Muslim, but are they on the correct, the safe sex? Well, I can say they are not the safe sex. That one is clear. As for the Ahadi, the person,
now my ambition is out of the Kabila. Starting with the point, there are 3 points. The first is La ilaha illallah. And if you take La ilaha illallah, which is La ma'abuda bihaqqi illallah, that is no deity worthy of worship except Allah. Throughout the world, you only find a tabligh jama'at preaching this aqidah. If they are false ones, but they will not do it. If they enter a mosque and they talk about tawheed, that is a very, very real situation. They will not do that. Because they believe in preach that people should not put all these handlers and the like. You are going to break jama'at, and people are going to run away from you. So based on that, they will tell you to do nawafil, fast, go out, and this. So when they do this, they believe that what they are doing that hour. It's a long preach tawheed, as one of them said. They don't talk about tawheed much, because that is what destroys the da'wah of Muhammad as Mu'ala. Don't talk about politics, that is what destroys the da'wah of Asad Banga. So don't tell people, do ibadah, do prayer, do fasting, do this, do this, do this. So about tawheed, no. And that is a condemnation of their first principle, which is God, La ilaha illallah. Also part of the principle is attaining knowledge. This they have also defeated. They have also defeated. In fact, after you defeated this and going to look for knowledge, you have them around. They tell you that as your guru they may want to know. Just know, Allah Taala says about our Rabb Kareem, having seen that the Surah Nas, what we watch at that video. One of them who put out of them went to Iran to this Alifa University to learn. One of them asked after that person to say that he has gone to learn, said, Kilo Kuwaka, he must give him a point. She's telling me. So, and they say that one of their principles is what has led you. But the problem of the way against Renu is that, like the brother, who took some people into Jamaat Tabligh. But later they arrived and they put out, they will not go to the Jari and be like, one of them came to him and said, there's nothing that they want, they should find out. Someone said, I want to learn as a whole in one, they go to say, they should go to the Jari. So, another thing is that, Al-Amr bin Ma'ruf, just to tell people to do, Najar bin Munka, no. Tabligh, people do not tell you, don't smoke, don't take alcohol, don't fornicate, don't do this, don't do this. Because they believe you do that, the person that you're inviting will run away. Just tell me, do this, do this, do this, do this. They say, later, you will leave all those things that are haram. The question is, Allah has spoken to her, Ummat Mukhidatina, Ta'amuruna bil Ma'ruf, wa tanhauna 'anil Munkar. What Allah has done for these things? So we have to, the best method of being da'wah is for you not to talk about evil. Just to tell people, do this, do this, do this. And then another principle is what at the crown to honor people, which is a very good principle. But what you understand by the crown, that is these people don't talk about, don't criticize, don't say anything. Is that da'wah of the Prophet of Allah or that of Abu Bakr? So don't criticize, just do the crown. And as I said, who does the word to say, maybe this month it is not yet time for Salah, for instance. If there is a big man in that month, you challenge him. Hey, I want to come with offer. Nobody believes we should join the people in what they are doing. And that's why, based on this principle of the crown, anywhere they did find themselves, their place now determines what their agenda will be. The best that this world will have is the need in Saudi Arabia. Because that is the perfect environment. Almost all the other people doing that environment, they also join them. So this led some scholars to pass good comments about them. Later on, some scholars who now discover their heresy now started working against them. Like Sheikh Abu Bakr Jalil Jabrayeli, who praised them, based on what he knew, that this move, because that Saudi environment is the environment of Tawhid. But later, like Sheikh Husseini praised them earlier, but later he condemned them. And that was why, what I said over yesterday, he said, some of our appearance, the one you use, authority, use, whatever you say, use. Later, some groups also came up, like the Juan, the Salafiyun, and the Salafiyun. He said, Kullu Abi Firaq is Ata Amir Yasar wa Alayka is Aman, and let the Abshad Alayka in the Peace of Allah. Said, apart from our mission, the first one, that the people have ordered to follow. So this is the president. So they are the government spoke on them. So these people, they have a lot of energy. We are not saying this just to condemn them, but at the same time, what is not part of Islam should not demand that let us accommodate them like that. This is not part of Islam. So when they are in Libya, they join the Sufi sect. In fact, he asked the money he asked himself was a Sufi man who would do Tamaruk, which is the Rasaya. So in Nigeria here, they only talk about if you ask them what question or something they said, I will not agree with you. Because you don't want to disturb the people, and a lot of them do not know anything. Some of them are just trying to say they do that. So let's just let us be carried away by the Banda, they do a lot of Yamule, they do a lot of this, a lot of Wattish. The Khawarij will do more than these people will do. Yet, the Prophet of Allah, but I'm strongly warning the companions against
this. So now, let's mention a little thing about Jama'at al-Tabligh. The Jama'at al-Tabligh, you see, the issue is because of the large scale of ignorance amongst its people. Many of the people are ignorant. It is not possible to be a good Muslim while someone is ignorant. It's like us know this. Once you are ignorant, your Islam will not be really as it should be. You may not be in any of the deviant sects, but you will not be ala tariq, ala jahda. You will not really be on the path as it should be. So you should please learn. Many of the followers do not know. One of the most dangerous things about Jama'at al-Tabligh is Ibadat al-Kubur. Worshipping graves. Some people in Nigeria say they don't worship graves. I have one of the books of one of the scholars. I was telling Manab Salah, I have it. You know Fadail al-Sahaba, Fadail al-A'mal, one of their scholars went to make the bridge of that book, trying to verify the ahadith to say that they are authentic or not. If you read the Muqaddima of that, he was saying that some people accuse us that we are worshipping graves. So he started to go and bring fabricated narrations from the people who had gone back. And some people who existed at the time of the Tabi'un and the later scholars who wanted grace. Do you understand? Because the fact that people existed at the time of the Tabi'un does not mean that they are righteous. Of course, those people who were referring to Ali radiallahu anhu, Allah, they said it to his face. They saw the companions. And he still wants them alive. Does it mean that they are right? Does it mean that the Khawarij were right, Khurkus in Israel and all, does it mean that they were right? So you bring all these kind of incidents to prove the permissibility of worshipping dead bodies in the grave. In fact, the leader, Muhammad Iliyah, said that he got the information to start this from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That it was the Prophet who told him why he was in the Prophet's mansion. He said he was near the graveside where the prophet was buried, and it was cut off from the mind. He said he was leaning around there. He said he can't remember that he was sleeping, but he knew that he knew what he was doing. And it was said to him, Elias, start so and so movement. So that was how it started. So they believed in making intercession with these people in the grave. And many of the scholars are written a lot regarding their worshiping of Jesus. So what I'm talking about, they make Jawa, they have jumping jawas, is that all? And like it is said, the Lord can do all those things better than you. Can it be possible to have someone in Jamaat to see his eyes are removed and is this very crash is not a big idea in Halakha? Is it possible? They cut off his hands and legs from opposite sides and he doesn't even say, hey, the Khawarij were doing that. And then when they were asked why they were doing that, they said, he does not like to meet Allah except in a state where his tongue is remembering Allah. The companions did heal him on that. If people like that existed today, people would make their demands and follow them. So all those things, all those exaggerated piety of the Jama'at which have been put it aside, they don't have anything to do with real Islam. There is no one who has shirk to what he thinks is Islam, and he's thinking that Allah will reward him for that. He's wasting his time. So let us know this as fact. And know that Jama'at is a religion. So that doesn't mean that people are they are doing that. Suma Mada, did he say that if every person who does a good deed that will get the reward for the good deed? Did the prophet not tell us Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam about the man who had traveled in the journey? I started to say, Ya Rabbi, Ya Rabbi. That's Ya Rabbi, Ya Rabbi. What is he doing? It is dua. And someone who makes dua should be rewarded for making dua. But what did the prophet say at the end? How can he be answered? How is it possible that he is answered? So it's not everyone who does a good deed that will get the reward. The good deed, the work is good, but the intention behind it and the foundation of the work is bad. So the work is bad. Before any work is accepted, it must contain two things. The intention must be sincere, and the work must be the one that has exemplary from the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So let's go down and they do that by the Summa Mada. That doesn't mean anything. Allahu Akbar.
Regarding the Amaliyah Mubu, so one part you should know is that they are Kufar. They are Kufar. That's the second time I'm saying. The third time, they are Kufar. Now, even Sayyid Khomeini. I know some say, ah, yes. You know, yes, I know people who grumble. But it's not the truth. What I say, what I don't say is that I can say it anywhere. These people who are declared to fall, 1970, at the conference of all the ulama throughout the world in Mecca, based on what they mean. One thing I want you to know, I don't want you to cite one thing that makes their father a kafir and whoever believes in what the man was holding to, also is a kafir. One. And this has to do with the theory of art. It is denial of Quran that of our Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says concerning Prophet Isa alayhi salatu wa salam. Allah says of that strategy, wa man fata ruhu wa man fata ruhu wa la kishu bin alam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that Isa alayhi salatu wa salam was neither killed nor crucified. What is Gulam Ahmad Singh. That is not true. Isa was crucified, but he did not die on the cross. Based on this, he wrote a book titled Jesus in India, whereby he proved that when Jesus was apprehended and was crucified,
he did not die, he was saved from the dead. And later on, he ran away to Kashmir, to India in Kashmir, where he was looking for the sheep out of Israel. So he happened now to live for 120 years before he died and was now buried in Kashmir in India. And anybody who denies a single verse, a single word of the Quran is a Catholic. That's all. Ghulam Ahmad said that he was the promised Messiah. Later on, he graduated to the level of a prophet after Prophet Muhammad, which now led him to interpret Quran chapter 33, verse 40 in our own Quran, according to our own country, and verse 41 in their own Quran. That when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Man kana Muhammad abaa ahadin min rijalikum walakin rasulullahi wa khatamal nabiyyin," that he was the messenger of Allah and still a prophet. Ulamama now interpreted that Khatam al-Nabi gives it some literal meaning, and he said that Khatam means ring. And what does the ring do? What does it do to your finger? It adorns your finger. He said, it doesn't mean that the messenger of Allah was the last prophet, but any prophet that will come after him must bear the seal of Prophet Muhammad. So he does not even believe that he alone will be a prophet after Prophet Muhammad as a prophet. So when he called us, they studied their Aqidah and everything they believe in, they now, declare them in existence as kufar. And that's why today, nobody can come out and say, I'm an Ahmadi, and the minister will go and perform Hajj in Saudi Arabia. So when you read, yes, there is a discussion comparative religion, condemning Christianity, whatever. Even their leader was used by the British against Muslims in India, so that Muslims would not raise any eyebrow against the colonials. And that is why today, as there is any Ahmadi, where is their headquarters? It's not in every Muslim country, but it's because of their master in Britain. That's why they are like this at peace. And let me tell you, they don't regard you as Muslims. If you don't know, they do not regard you as Muslims. They treat you like a Christian. You know, a Christian, you can marry the women of Amrita, but it is haram for the women of Muslims to marry the men of Amrita. That is how the Ahmadi treat other Muslims. No Muslim who does not belong to their sect can marry their brother. That's one. Secondly, they do not pray behind anybody who is not an Ahmadi. Although, they are divided into two. They have the Ahmadiyya mission and Ahmadiyya movement. Ahmadiyya mission is like this, that's why you do not have to make yourself. And Ahmadiyya movement, you have that Ahmadiyya voice of the mental spirit to another that you have. And the Ahmadiyya movement, that is where the men belongs to. The Ahmadiyya, why one has to get mission is because that man called Muhammad, what is his name, that told the translation of the Quran, I forgot his name. Muhammad Khan. Muhammad Ali Khan. He wrote a translation of the Quran, which is before, because the man was like the second in command when Ghulam Ahmad was alive. So, after the demise of Ghulam Ahmad, he was expecting that he would make a Khalifa after the demise of Ghulam Ahmad. But Ghulam Ahmad had passed the Khilafah to his son and to his children. So it was the basis of the Khilafah that is now started. So the Ghulam and the Ghulam Ahmad believed that Ghulam Ahmad was a prophet who received wahyu. He claimed that he received revelation from Allah. And anybody who claims that, our prophet Muhammad becomes the prophecy of that day, 30 imposts of like that will come after him, claiming to prophet after prophet Muhammad. One of those who have made God's claim was the man that provided the theory of over 19. That theory that ignorance and the leaders propagated before India left it. Rashad Ayumba, that man who provided the theory that the Quran, the computer, the Quran, all the other, all the verses, all the letters are based on computations of 19. Because at that time, our Quran was talking about those who are dying in hell. He said, He now used that, and he now claims that the Quran is based on that. You know, at the beginning, people like, you know, anything that was talked about by him, people are like, you are having the way, they follow this, everything. In Pakistan, another area, many people are living. Before, he now made that claim. This is what he did, and he said that two verses in Surah Al-Tawbah were not part of the Quran, but the Sahaba comported those two verses and put it there. Because his calculation was wrong on that particular Surah. He said, when the Prophet Muhammad died, his Sahaba was looking for a way to eulogize him. He now comported those two verses. La Qadija, Amo, Rasulullah, Mine, and Qudikum. Abidun Aleyhima Aminsun Habisun Aleykum Bilimum Bilimum Rahutu Rahim. Fakista wa Allah wa Abulhati Allah la ilaha illa wa alayhi wa sallam wa huwa rabbil alamin. Now we have this to that, he said this to that to our prophet. It was like this was not that he could have not answered it. What? We now started looking at his theory. We now discover that a lot of manipulation. You know, it's based on things that Dr. Abu Ahmed Al-Lazi wrote a book, 19, Hope of History, and proved how that number of 19 is not a fact but a fiction. So the same way, later, not only that the claim that those people are now later claim to be a prophet, it was at this particular time that Abedidas now said, oh, now, from that period onwards, he did not publish that book, Al-Quran, the Holy Miracle. He later published that one, Al-Quran, Miracles of Miracles. He stopped publishing that one. He now challenged the man. Later, the man did not accept the challenge. Later, somebody in USA prepared himself to get rid of the man, and he stabbed the man to death. That's how the Rashid Shalaba was put to death. Similarly, the Rahama started with the next one. Later, if you read many of his books, this was the role, and this was like that Mahjudi or Hamad Adinami, what they wrote about these people, and many other scholars, you will see that these people, they are fucked. Yes. I've told you many times, don't be carried away by outward practice of Islam. That some different proof, I mean, will show to you. It is the particular that is important. If the Bible is not correct, the Bible can never be correct. So, don't be carried away by the American people, you know, some of our people, and if you look at all the proofs today, that would have all the accusations. Many of them, the left Ahmadiyya, like Al-Qa'udin, Al-Wa'udin, Al-Wa'udin, they are all people of Ahmadiyya. The state are going to discover. I want to come to him now, having been a staunch advocate of Ahmadiyya, or at least the professor Ismail Baruch. He wrote a book, unfortunately for me, I think you would know that the issue of the Ahmadiyya will come up today. I wrote the book. And this is the book. Islam versus Ahmadiyya in Nigeria. When the man has that, in South Africa, the Ahmadis are represented from our own house. He was like, annoyed. When did they declare them to fall over that? He said, he now sat down and he prayed, he did his tirada. Oh Allah, If people cannot know the truth through the university, where do they expect them to know it? Because it is the study of knowledge. And he said, if people rather, if they rather and ask another to people get them arrived, then he started doing the fact. Where to compare the teaching of the Quran and what the Arabian people are teaching, said he now discovered that there is a difference. That Ahmadiyya is a religion on its own and Islam is a religion on its own. Based on this, the Ahmadiyya people started with the right religion there. There's a tablet called a sketch in those days. They were exchanging things. In religious school, you will see the discovery there about the Ahmadiyya. In the Nambi, among those who have been now buried, the man who wrote that recently, Ahmadi, because they discovered that they are on the wrong. So my dad was a student in class, so we started to read by the student part of the men on the TV or radio. So we started to read about that, oh, the man in the castle of the Imam is Ahmadiyya. Where are the Ahmadiyya to show Ahmadiyya and the people who are put together? Come on, Ahmadiyya.
I just want to add to that society, for some of us to be surprised how this man really says on the radio Lagos, nothing that they have to do with Ahmadiyya, that the man is preaching well. Wallahi, I personally almost felt for him some years back, because I look at all the programs being done on radio or on television. This man will present some pieces that says the guy is lying. But his Akida, this one understands Akida very well. You know this man has a lot of problems. So not because his Akida on radio levels or when they used to do that on the later on, I think Channel 7 or Channel 8 will not present it like that. But every Friday on MITV or so, they have a program for Ahmadiyya. They will present Ahmadiyya with his signing other Jama'ah. So when he came to that 2001, I met him. Then he was just employed. Somebody told me this is very, very hard. Once I did not see the beard anymore. This man, I used to see him with beard on the TV, but where is that? I approached him. I used to ask him when he said yes. Okay. I'll be looking for him to have some debate with him on some TV. I answer that people said that he just belonged to Ahmadiyya because of, you know, what he did. So he said that he now narrated his history that his father was a Christian before, he now embraced Islam through the Ahmadiyya. So he told me how he went to UI, he was to study English before, his mates were attacking him, that was studying English or speaking English, he now went to study Arabic. He said he came out with maybe for 12 or so, or maybe second class law or something like that. So he said he believed in Ahmadiyya strongly, and even his project was to defend Ahmadiyya. That was his project while he was doing his first degree or so. He said he believed in Ahmadiyya. He now said a lot of things. Since then, I will not give him any excuse. So, and the person who is calling for Kufru is a Kafir. So don't be surprised what this thing by its name is. Now, some Ahmadi among the followers, they may not know the details about this. These people, scholars, are not interested in declaring them kufar. At the same time, he must not join the group Because there is no way the relationship with them, maybe join them or get married to them, there's no way they will take it to that group. Just like the Shia Rawami, the Rawami, the Umeyu, so whatever. So those people have declared those people to Kufar. Now the name Rawami, lay people, they do not know the details about what Umeyu says. The scholars do not say those people are Catholic, but any person who believes in what those people believe and also preaching what those people are preaching is a Catholic. And that's why we are told, get away from all these things. Now, there is a point here. Don't say they are declaring all other groups to far. No. We talked about the man to be, nobody has said that the man to be are to far. Those are the scholars who have consensus on, like the Bahriya, the Ahmadiyya, the Shia Rawafi, all the people they are to far. If they are going to excuse some people, maybe as a result of just being lay people. But generally, the group is a Catholic group. Then those who are scholars in the group are Kufar, and those who also believe in what those scholars are calling to the also Kufar. But the other groups, like the Juan Musimun, the Jamaat Febri, the Jamaat Islamia, nobody has said these people are Kufar. What they are saying is that these people have deviation from the Sunnah of the Prophet of Allah. And what that about the 72 sects? Scholars said that among the 72 sects, we have those who are kufar, we have those who are not kufar. So be very, very careful. Don't belong to any jama'ah. Do your Islam in accordance to the Quran and the Sunnah and the understanding of the Salaf and Sunnah. So don't be surprised about that of Simei. I know him very well and he knows me very well. So I don't have any excuse whatsoever for him. For now.
Inshallah, that is the end of the question and answer for this session. So now, have like a 3 minutes break, and I'll give a talk on the peace and blessings in the school of Inshallah.